So you are. Okay. Does anyone know what songbird that was? Yes. Okay. Cardinal. Right. And you know that's a cardinal because you've heard cardinals singing in your backyard and you're familiar with this species-specific song. But you're also familiar, okay, so songbirds produce these songs. But you're also familiar with the fact that there are other birds that are not songbirds, and that would include birds that you see here, like this red-tailed hawk, a turkey. You've got woodpeckers like this flicker. They are not songbirds, but they do produce noises. So the sounds that these animals are producing, they're not songbirds. Okay, songbirds are named because they produce song, but these are called calls. So songbirds call and they sing, and other birds, non-songbirds, produce calls. So biologists distinguish between the two. It's a little bit muddy, but in general, songs are the long, melodious, complex songs that you hear filling the sky in spring when songbirds are preparing to breed. Typically, it's males. They're singing to attract females. These songs are learned. In contrast, calls tend to be shorter, and they tend to be unlearned. So an example of a call would be an alarm call. If you startle a bird and it squawks, okay, that would be an example of an alarm call. Or if you run into a turkey, it might gobble. That would be an example of alarm call. And it's generally thought that calls are not learned in contrast to songs. Now, there are some exceptions to what I'm saying. Chickadees are songbirds that are very plentiful in Wisconsin, and chickadees are named after their call, the chickadee call. So if you startle a chickadee, it will produce this vocalization. It'll say chickadee. And interestingly, if the chickadee perceives you to be very threatening, it will add more D's to the end of its call. So I always think that's kind of cool. If I startle a chickadee and it just produces one D, it doesn't think of me as an extreme threat. But if it adds a lot of D's, it means it considers you to be quite the threat. So in contrast to the more complex chickadee vocalization, the call, the chickadee song is the Phoebe. It's just two notes, right? It's very simple. So there are exceptions to the idea that song is complex, but in general, song is this complex, melodious, learned vocalization. All right, to support the learning and production of song, songbirds have evolved a very elaborate brain system. So what I'm showing you here are cartoons on the left here of the songbird brain. This is a zebrafinch. They're commonly studied to understand how the brain controls singing behavior. And over here, I just have a representative non-songbird, a turkey. And here's the turkey brain. Okay, so both birds are oriented in the direction, it's the side view of the brain, right? And you already notice something is very different. The songbird brain, each of these circles represents a brain region. The arrows represent the connections between the different brain regions. And this system of brain regions is dedicated to song learning and song production. And turkeys and other non-songbirds don't learn vocalizations, at least not to a large extent. And so you see they lack this dedicated system involved in vocal learning and production. Mm-hmm. So this is unique to songbirds, and something like it also exists in parrots. Something like it also exists in hummingbirds. And in humans, we see a brain system similar to this because we're famous also for our vocal learning and production. So one other thing I want to add about this song control system is that in birds that breed seasonally, males will sing a lot more in spring, and at this time of year, some of these brain regions grow. They become huge. They actually grow new neurons. So neurogenesis occurs. And songbirds are the first species in which it was discovered that adult animals can grow new neurons. And I think that's good news for all of us. Right. But found, discovered first in songbirds. All right, another unique thing about birds, and this isn't specific just to songbirds, but you'll also see this in non-songbirds as well, but they have a syrinx. Okay, so this is their voice box. So the syrinx is located right here, and here's kind of a blow up of the syrinx. And what you see is that there are two sides to the syrinx, and each side can produce a distinct vocalization. So it can sound almost like two birds are singing, and this is why birds can produce such complex songs. We can't do this because we're restricted by our larynx. Okay, so a larynx is our voice box. All right, so birds have evolved these complex brain systems. They have this amazing syrinx that can produce these elaborate vocalizations. So song must be really important. So why? Why do birds sing? There are many reasons that birds sing, and I've come up with a list of four here. We're going to start by talking about the fact that sometimes when you hear birds sing, it's because they are learning their songs and they are practicing their songs. Birds are probably most famous, and this would be primarily males, for singing at high rates during the breeding season to attract mates. We're then going to talk about the fact that birds sing to defend territories, okay, to repel typically males who are competing for their females. And then we'll also explore the possibility that at least in some contexts, birds may sing because it's rewarding. Singing may be self-reinforcing. That is, birds sometimes may sing simply because it feels good. So we're going to talk about some of the scientific evidence that actually supports that.